Hello and welcome to the sixth season of Bus to Talk, the exclusive Bus to Bus podcast format. All episodes of this season were recorded at our podcast studio at InnoTrans 2024 in Berlin. We are joined by well-known experts from the bus industry, political representatives and startups. I'm Kerstin Kube-Erkens from Messe Berlin, and will be once again on the outlook for news and insights from the bus and mobility scene for you. To support me this season, I have Don Dahlmann at my side. Don Dahlmann is a successful journalist, author, and consultant in the field of future mobility, autonomous driving, smart cities, IoT, and AI. He also set up a new vertical for the online magazine Gründerszene in the field of automotive and mobility. He is a popular speaker, moderator, and has already made appearances at Republica, Automechanica, and Bus to Bus. He has given keynotes for clients such as Daimler, Audi, and the Fraunhofer Institute. Don has been an important source of inspiration for Bus to Bus from the very beginning. Don, it's really great to have you with us for this season.
Wow, that was a lot. Thank you very much, Kerstin, for this very warm welcome. I am also delighted to producing this very special season of Bus to Talk together with you and to be diving into the world of mobility. We have a lot planned for this season, and I'm looking forward to inspiring our listeners with exciting insights and, of course, inspiring stories.
And we will do so, Don, be sure. So, dear listeners, fasten your seatbelts and get ready for an exciting journey with Bus to Talk.
Our guest today, Katarzyna Pietz, has come to us from Poland. She's the CIO and board member of Nesobus, a company that manufactures a hydrogen-powered city bus. The bus has had European vehicle type approval since April 2022 and is already in use in several cities, including Wroclaw. She has more than 3 years of experience working in the electric vehicle production industry, and she has been involved in developing cutting-edge solutions for sustainable transportation. Her primary focus is on business integration and creating synergies across the hydrogen project within the ZE Pack and the Polsat Plus Group. Drawing from her background in EV production, she is now working to support the growth of Poland's hydrogen-powered transport and infrastructure, helping to drive the transition to more sustainable and greener mobility. In addition to advancing the Nesobus Hydrogen Bus project and supporting Poland's hydrogen infrastructure development, her goal is to promote the benefits of hydrogen-powered buses for a cleaner, more sustainable urban transport. So, welcome to our little podcast booth here at the InnoTrans 2024. Hydrogen buses are a little bit of still a novelty in the market. They are some buses going around in Europe, but it's still a novelty in terms of that the technology is new to most public transport providers. Mm-hmm. So you developed this bus with your company. What is so special about it?
Okay. First of all, thank you for inviting me. And then we can make a correction. Our bus, it's not driving in Wrocław. It's driving in Gdańsk.
Okay.
And it's driving also in the city of Rybnik. It's designed to revolutionize the public transportation by combining sustainability, efficiency, and modern technology. At its core, Nesobus is a zero-emission vehicle, powered entirely by hydrogen fuel cells, which means it's only emits water vapor as a byproduct. This makes it one of the cleanest and most eco-friendly transportation methods which are available, at least today, addressing two major urban challenges which we have, and that's an air pollution and noise pollution, of course. One of the key features that make Nesobus stand out is the ability to not only reduce emission, but also actively purify the air as it operates. This innovation goes beyond being green. It actually contributes to cleaner, healthier cities by filtering out pollutants such as particulate matter from the air. So currently we offer a standard 12-meter model, which is highly versatile and suitable for a variety of urban and suburban roads. It has been optimized for high traffic density with a focus on comfort and capacity. The bus is designed to serve the needs of both passengers and public transportation operators, offering a long range, short refueling times, and the robustness needed for daily operation in busy cities.
Well, I don't want to interrupt you. Yes. with all the features of the bus, which is extremely important, of course. Maybe I want to explain for some listeners what is the difference between electric and hydrogen. And in electric, you have a battery, and in hydrogen, you use a compressed hydrogen.
Exactly.
In very secure tanks under high pressure. And this hydrogen goes into a fuel cell where it's converted into energy.
Yes.
And then you have the energy to drive the bus.
Exactly.
And the emissions, as you said, is only water. So there is a bit difference of charging a battery or refilling a hydrogen tank.
Mm-hmm.
And as I know, as someone who's dealing with hydrogen also in journalistic ways, I know that refilling, for example, such a bus is way shorter than charging a huge battery. So you have a range of around 350 to 500 kilometers, and you can recharge in 15 minutes?
Yes, exactly. If we're talking about the NASA bus, you are able to charge within 15 minutes the full tank, which is around 37.5 kilo of hydrogen. And basically, in case of NASA bus, the range is around 450 kilometers on one tank.
This is a lot. I mean, this normally covers the driving times of a bus throughout the day, and again, only 15 minutes of refilling time.
And
so there is a huge benefit to that. So you don't have to plan that much.
No.
Like when you refill, you come back to the depot, you refill, you have it full for the next day.
Yes.
Or whenever you use it, and so you don't have to wait for couple of hours.
Exactly. That's definitely an advantage of that kind of buses, of hydrogen powered buses. You don't have to really change your schedule. Yeah? You don't have to defray it more for the schedule for diesel buses, which you have still in your fleet. It's quite intuitive and it's easy. You tank for 50 minutes, then you drive once again. And for average cities, the driving distance which they have is approximately 300 to 400 kilometers. So there is no constraints. In that case, if you compare to electric, usually, unfortunately, above the 300 kilometers range, then it became a constraint. Or if the city is a hilly city and it's not flat, then it's also have, of course, an impact. And once again, it's a factor of weather, which also have an impact. If you're talking about hydrogen power buses, there it's not a big difference if it's really hot or really cold. The bus still behave efficient as possible at that time.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything to a hydrogen bus if it's hot or if it's cold. So you don't lose range.
Not much.
Not much. It's a little bit because you need a little bit more cooling when it's too
but
hot.
But that's not so unusual like in the standard buses. If you're talking about diesel buses, then they also consume a little bit more when you use a heating, right, in the colder period or where you're using an AC to cool down, that's as well have an impact on the consumption. But overall, you cannot see a drastically shorter range because of that.
Yeah, and also, I think it's important to point out that these buses are as quiet as an electric bus because they basically use an electric engine.
As a matter of fact, it is electric bus, but the difference is that we have the own production of energy on the roof. Yeah, that's the difference between hydrogen and purely electric.
One good thing about hydrogen is also that it's if it's available at the place where you work, we come to that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing is like it's always there. You're not relying on weather when you're using renewable energies like solar or something. So it's basically you can store it, you have it there.
Yes.
You can refill your bus fleet even when it's snowing or when it's raining and et cetera, et cetera. So that's one of the big benefits. But one question, of course, then comes when we talk about it. Hydrogen is in a lot of discussion at the moment, especially for heavy industries,
like
chemical industry, cement industry, steel industry, and so on and so on. But to be sustainable and be really renewable, it has to be green hydrogen.
That's correct.
And green hydrogen is like the one that is made with renewable energies, mm-hmm. and can be stored, etc. So how is the green energy or how the green hydrogen is produced at your depot, or where do you get it? Mm-hmm. And how can you make sure that it's always like green hydrogen?
So our hydrogen, which we are delivering to the network of the station which we own in Poland, is indeed a green hydrogen. It's all the sources of energy. It's wind farms, solar farms, and biomass as well. And we are the producer. We also have within our group a company which is having exactly the farms with wind and solars. So that's from where we take in the energy to put into the electrolyzers, which can produce, of course, hydrogen. And that's why we're 100% sure that the quality of our hydrogen, it is a green hydrogen.
So you created a circular economy for your bus.
Completely a supply, full supply chain for hydrogen. So we do produce green hydrogen. We can transport our green hydrogen. We have a network of hydrogen refueling stations. And on the end, as well, we have our beautiful hydrogen bus. Yes.
But of course, you're also here to show this bus also to people who may be interested to buy it. What can they, if they're interested, do you also deliver the hydrogen economy around it, like the electrolyzers, et cetera, refilling stations?
Yes.
So you offer the full package?
Yes, we can. As well, one of our companies in the group, it's also producing a small alkaline electrolyzers. So basically, we can deliver full package. What we do and currently in the cities when we operate already our Neso bus, there is also our stations, and there is also supply of green hydrogen coming directly from our plant.
Which is good, like if someone comes to you and says, okay, I want to have a hydrogen bus, but I don't have the hydrogen, you can also deliver the green hydrogen.
Exactly. At this moment, majority of the cities have this problem. So they need to change the transportation. They need to rid out of diesel buses. They do have some electric buses, but they think about that's what to do in the future. And of course, they're looking as well into the hydrogen fuel cell buses, but that's the limitation. So the limitation is infrastructure, mm-hmm. how to do it. Of course, you cannot have bus and do not have an opportunity to charge it or tank it in that case. And it's easier to build the charging points for the electric buses. It's easier, but this as well have a limitation. But yes, we basically deliver all solution if the cities requires it.
One discussion always around the whole transformation to electric mobility that we have at the moment is cost parity. Mm-hmm. We know that a bus with a diesel engine is cheaper than with an electric battery or with a hydrogen or a fuel cell. But one thing is like, how much does it cost to run the bus? So hydrogen is a cost factor, of course. It's a little bit more expensive than, depending on where you live in Europe, it's a little bit more expensive than electric energy. So how do you make sure that, like, someone who wants to buy a hydrogen bus can calculate the costs when he's switching to hydrogen?
At this moment, indeed, we openly say that hydrogen, it's still more expensive than electric. Everybody are fully aware of this one. But definitely an ongoing government support as a subsidies for end of customer, maybe tax deduction as well, helping to develop the network and also support somehow the producer of hydrogen, definitely will be an important factor for the price drop. Also, it's also important to mention that hydrogen basically it's a perfect solution to use the energy which we cannot sell to create, right? So instead of wasting it or do not produce it, we can redirect to hydrogen. And then initially, when you redirect the energy which you cannot sell, or the selling price is close to zero or even on minus, you can use that energy to produce and hydrogen on a really low price. And that's initial, that's the main core and point when we are going towards. So a lot of to do, but I think so in the perspective of upcoming few years, we will be getting there to get a more efficient price for hydrogen.
There is a huge push in Europe for hydrogen. We know exactly. That. I think the EU Commission demand that by 2030 you have hydrogen refueling station every 200 kilometers or something like that, they decided. So there is a push, because also for the heavy industry they need it. But the point here is also you need hydrogen storage solutions. And a bus can be also work as a hydrogen storage solution. So is there technology already out that you can, like with electric batteries, where you have this bi-directional system that you can put back energy to the grid? Is there a system in place where you can put hydrogen back into the grid as an energy?
I heard that question many times, but to be honest, it is. But it's not really efficient, right? Then it's a loss of energy on approximately 40%, which is kind of a loss if you want to put electricity into the hydrogen and then from hydrogen go back to electricity. That's why it is not really the best cost-efficient solution. For storing hydrogen, it is still being developed, bigger tanks or with the capacity, of course. But yes, that's true. Bus can be a perfect storage. Also, the hydrogen refueling stations is a perfect storage, right? You can storage 1 ton or 1.5 ton. That depends on the configuration of the station. Then you have trailers where you can transport as well up to 1 ton of hydrogen. And that's also a possibility to storage. And also even in the plant where we produce a hydrogen, you will have for sure additional tank where you can storage it.
Where is the Polish market pushing to? Is it more towards hydrogen or is it more towards electric, or is there a mixture?
I think so at this moment it's a mixture. So yes, electric was the first one definitely in the approach of pushing to the transition into the more zero emission transportation, of course, in the Polish cities, but as well as hydrogen have an important factors of it.
What kind of clients are approaching you? What regions are you talking about?
Mostly we are concentrated right now in Poland, so we have many clients from different regions. I cannot say there's only one. Like, we are everywhere, basically. It's related to not only in distributing or convincing cities for the hydrogen buses, but it's also related to locating new stations to build basically our network across the Poland for hydrogen refueling. And that's not only for bus, but also for the trucks. As we say, this is also the future, but also for personal cars.
Mm-hmm. Is there a huge, like, how is the government positioned to hydrogen? I mean, in Germany, we have like a huge push from the current government towards hydrogen. Is this the same in Poland?
Yes, I think so. They fairly approach both electrics and hydrogen buses, and they giving an freedom for the cities to select what they want to have in their fleets.
Oh, so that's
yes, and they are helping with subsidies to buy and specific buses.
How was the reaction at Innotrans on your hydrogen bus? Because there are not many hydrogen buses here.
that's true. First impression is an interior of our bus. I don't know if you have occasion to see, but it's unusual for the buses, typical city buses. It's a wooden imitation floor and white seats. And that white seats, it's okay. Spectacular. Everybody's asking, wow, it's really white seats. How you manage them to be clean in so good condition? Yes, it's a lot of people coming, asking questions, not only about the bus, but about the complete infrastructure, how they can implement it in their own countries, their own cities.
Mm-hmm. I guess that, I mean, I know some cities here in Germany who run on or run with hydrogen bus. Hürth is one of them near Cologne. They are lucky because they have a huge refinery around the corner, so they get the hydrogen nearly for free. Prices of hydrogen is still also an issue because it's, I don't know how it's in Poland. Is it like set by the state, the price, or is it an on open market? Because in Germany it's set on by the state.
It is on open market at this moment.
So hydrogen plays a huge role in Poland, which, like, for some people that may surprising, that they have that. Though it makes sense that you are developing this hydrogen bus and this new technology. How far are you involved in the research and development of the fuel cell? How do you make sure that you always have the latest technologies? Because it's moving fast at the moment.
As well. We are closely working with our supplier, especially for the hydrogen cells. And I think so that's give us, we choose one of the best supplier for the fuel cell technology. And basically that's what we follow with companies which are existing for many years on the market, and they developing a hydrogen supplies for the bus for many, many years, which give us a warranty of the good quality and the best technology as well.
This is also one issue where I heard some people talk to me or said to me that is it secure? Because there's a lot of hydrogen in the bus and tanks, and it's high pressure. So, yeah, is it secure? How do you ensure that it's secure?
350 bars on buses and then on the stations, we may say 350 bars, but not only, it's also 700 bars. It's a huge pressure, yes. That's not burning, I would say, because some people as well are afraid of this one. It is the tanks which we have in our bus. It's a fourth generation tanks. It's a composite tanks. And they, of course, secure with waves, which helps us as well to prevent any leaks. In case of any leaks, of course, hydrogen is the lightest gas, so it will go up and disappear, and you most probably will not know. Driver will know, but it will not have any impact on you. Also, in case of these tanks could, for some reason, catch a fire, it will just only burn the
outer layer.
Outer layer of the tanks, and it will directly let the hydrogen out of the tanks. So it's no risk for blowing up or explosion in that case. And as well, it's many safety system incorporated in the bus, and as well for the station which we are building, which are preventing in case of any irregularities or problems with the connection between the bus and the station to even tank. So you will be not able to tank, and then you will get a communication that is not possible, or you will be able to tank only in a safe environment to the limited amount of kilograms.
While in Europe, hydrogen buses are still a bit of a novelty. It's like it's unusual to see a hydrogen bus, let's say that way. It's a bit different in China. Mm-hmm. That's a different market. So you're looking into also this market. And what can we learn in Europe from what China is doing with hydrogen?
Well, we don't look into China market, to be honest, much. We do not have a suppliers from China. We're not so much interested into developing in China market. Europe, it's our main concentration point, and as well the components which we use for our bus, are they being produced in Poland, or are they being produced and sold to us from the producer which are here in that region. And they also have their struggles with hydrogen. They are also still on the level of developing, but they're quite advanced indeed in technology. But we can say the same about the electric buses. They are way ahead of us. The only thing is, like, we look a little bit different as European into the quality of the products. We want to have a robust, good quality product, and that's also really important factor for us as a producer of the bus. The quality is in the first point, because on the end, that bus it's being made to travel constantly, and that's the key.
There are a lot of companies from China who are also pushing into the European market, mm-hmm. and the bus market with electric buses. They have a lot of experience with this by now. Mm-hmm. Is hydrogen or hydrogen buses a chance for Europe to get a technology advance or to have a technology advantage in the future?
Yeah, I truly believe so. It is. I mean, electrics, they have a pluses and minuses, of course. And depends on the cities, what kind of type of buses they will select, of course, electric or hydrogen. But I would say it have an advantage, and one of the most important advantage is the range, no limitation. And also a really important factor is a day-to-day operation and the cost related to that operation. That's really important, because when you look into the hydrogen bus versus electric bus, there's a quite huge battery which need to be unfortunately replaced at least in one time over the 10 years lifetime, let's say, because that's how we count of approximately lifetime of the bus. It's a 10 years. In reality, it's longer, of course, but that's how the market looks at it. So it's a huge cost. You don't have that in a hydrogen bus. It's basically really small two batteries, which just only help to generate energy in a bus to make it run. But nothing above that is, of course, a fuel cell. But the fuel cell lifetime, it's really improved over the last 10 years. And right now, really, with our supplier, we can say it's 8 to 10 years easily without any.
So it's nearly the whole lifetime of the bus, the fuel cell will work. And you don't have to exchange it. You don't have to exchange huge batteries.
To be honest, you don't even have to exchange it. You need to rework it. And we still meet on the market when we talk that for the bus, electric buses, it's still no way to rework them. Just need to replace for a new one. Yeah. And then we coming back for environmental factor. Because on the end, we do zero emission and being green to reduce the footprint. And we produce another battery, and then we have an old battery which we need to dismantle, right? We need to rid out of it. And that's not really environmental friendly still.
So you think that in the long term, over the whole life cycle of a bus, that a hydrogen bus, apart from investment in the infrastructure that you have to do, but you have mm-hmm. to do the same with electric infrastructure.
Exactly.
For the whole life cycle, just for the bus, you think it's even being a little bit more expensive than an electric bus? You think that in the end it's cheaper?
In the end it's cheaper. So maintenance of that bus, it's cheaper than electric.
So you save, as a public transport provider, you would save money in the end. And you have a fleet that is more flexible with a hydrogen bus, because you only have this 15-minute refuel.
Exactly. Longer ranges, and then continuously. You basically refuel for 15 minutes and you can drive once again. So indeed, that's a perspective. And to be honest, even if you look right now for the prices on the market for buying electric bus versus hydrogen bus, that price difference is not so big anymore. Because the prices of hydrogen buses are going down, and electric, unfortunately, because of the regulation recently, when we need to get out of the bus, so and the battery needs to be bigger to support all the systems in the bus, the prices just grow higher. So we're getting closer to each other. It's still factorial as fueling costs, as we say, but I think so over the time, and hopefully on continuously support from government, this will also go down. It's in many cities, as we also speaking here during the InnoTrans, which are talking about being independent, producing by themselves hydrogen, right? I can put windmills, I can put a solar farm, I can invest in the electrolyzer. Can I do it? Yes, of course. You can also invest in a hydrogen refueling station. There's also a programs or subsidies which support this one as well. And then you can be cheaper. There's a way to be cheaper even right now. But that's quite a big decision to be made by the cities.
By the cities, yeah. I mean, in the end, but it's true. I mean, because you can be energy independent, and this is a new talking point. I think across Europe is being energy independent.
It is an important factor,
and then cities can be energy independent too, because if they invest into solar farms or into wind parks or something, they can use it also to give this energy to their to the city, and part of it goes into hydrogen production,
exactly,
which powers then the infrastructure of the public network. So for you as Nesobus, you are in a unique position because you're developing most of the stuff you own for your research and development. You have the circular economy built up for your system. What's the next step for Nesobus in terms of growing and going into European market?
I think so. We're still aiming, of course, to grow the fleet which are operating in the cities. So we have currently 30 buses in operation in Poland. And then at the beginning of next year, we will have additional 26, and another cities will follow up next year as well. We are also actively developing the network of hydrogen refueling stations. So we have already 3 stations which are publicly open, so everybody can come with bus, with truck, or with personal car. We will open another 3 till end of this year. And as of next year, we are starting our construction phase for another 5.
Oh, that's a lot coming up from Nesobus. Thank you so much, Katarzyna, for this talk. I hope you all enjoyed listening to it. If you're new to hydrogen, just Google it a bit and look for the information that you can find about Nesobus. I think you have a lot of information on your website also about it. I hope you had a great time listening to the podcast, and see you next time. Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.
A big thank you to our guest. This concludes another episode of the 6th season of Bus to Talk. We invite you to take a look at our website, www.bus2bus.berlin. There you will find all information about Bus to Bus, as well as all our podcasts and newsroom articles. You can also find more information in our show note. So, stay tuned and subscribe Bus to Talk. See you soon, and our tip, try bus.